Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Live from the capital of the South and the wrestling capital of the world, Atlanta, Georgia, this is Georgia Wrestling Now with your host, Wrestling Pop Culture with Pop Culture's own Jonathan Williams.
Thank you. Thanks, Matt. That's Matt Hankins from Team All You Can Eat, and as he mentioned, I am Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, and tonight's an odd assortment of characters. We've got Wild Child Joey Kidman, or as he's known out in Peach State Wrestling Alliance, Rock and Roll Joey Kidman.
Oh, yes.
He won a battle royal and is number one contender to the Ultimate Dragon's Peach State, Heritage title, Heritage Championship. He'll be challenging for on Saturday, I believe it is. Then we've got Pitt from Atlanta Midget Wrestling. They will be in Columbus on November 9th and in at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Norcross on November 10th, which is not this weekend but next. And then we've got TNA star Gunner, formerly of Anarchy Wrestling, and he's been wrestling all over the place as of late at Peach State, and I think he's been at NWA Action. And this Sunday, he will be challenging Rick Michaels for the Pro Wrestling Resurrection Heavyweight Championship up in Clayton. So, that's quite a lineup, I would say.
That is eclectic, I think is what we call that. That is an eclectic lineup.
But I guess first things first, we were both at Hell in a Cell last night. And,
we were there.
We were there, and it was not the best WWE pay-per-view I've ever seen. But oddly enough, I've been talking to other people, and other people are telling me how great they thought it was. So maybe I missed something, but I just, like, every match has just been thrown together over the past two or three weeks, and there was just no reason to be invested in any of it emotionally or any sense, really. And A lot of people were kind of sloppy, you know. A lot of the really good, you know, top stars were not hitting their moves just right. And as you kept pointing out, Matt, the champions kept coming out first every.
Did that ever get under my skin? And I don't know why, but it just irked the piss out of me that every champion came out first. It just bothered me. And I assume it was because, like we said, that they wanted the big Ryback moment at the end of the night. And so to make it not apparent that that's what they were doing, they just made all the champions come out first. But I don't know. There's some things that, I mean, yes, did it mean anything? No. But is it just one of those things that, like, well, it doesn't help you or hurt you, so why do it? Well, it didn't serve any purpose.
Yeah. Well, I noticed it seemed like a lot of times the champions would talk a little bit before their matches. So I guess maybe that was the only reason, but I don't know. All in all,
but I'm like you. I don't know. I heard a lot of people react a lot more positively than we did to it. And I'm wondering if most of the people I was talking to were people who just watched it. Maybe being there was somehow worse. I guess there was only one match in the Cell. And the view of the Cell when you're there, that does take a little bit away. And I think the crowd was dead. I mean, just asleep dead for some reason. And maybe that kind of took us out of it a little bit. I don't know. I went in with high hopes. I was like Chuck Porterfield. Once I got in there and I saw this, I was like, all right, this will be fun. This will be exciting. And then it didn't take off from there like I would have liked it to.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the crowd didn't really get into anything until the Big Show Sheamus match, and then of course the main event when in the Hell in a Cell, they got into that one. But
yeah.
I thought they were much, you know, I thought the United States title match was probably one of the better ones, and no one was seemed like no one was even watching it.
No, no.
Antonio broke that huge uppercut, European uppercut, as Justin Gabriel dove on him outside the ring and retained his title. Did any titles change hands? I guess it's the world title.
The world heavyweight. That would be it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess coming off the heels of, you know, we had a lot of great shows here this weekend. That probably doesn't help us any with, like, WWE because it's so different. And, you know, a lot of the angles that kind of played out here over the weekend were built forever.
Yeah.
And so, like, Anarchy had title changes all over the place and crazy barbed wire matches, special guests and all this kind of thing. And I guess it was just a bit of a letdown. And Freddie Ahai winning, for, as far as I know, his first title in this business out at UIW Saturday. So I guess maybe I'd rode too high already and I was coming down by Sunday.
Yeah, well, I did not attend that show. I was going to go to that People's Wrestling League or whatever it was called that we talked about last week, but that show was canceled. So that left my Saturday night open to Halloween festivities.
Interpretation.
But you went to UIW.
I was there. With good solid night, a fun evening had by most, except for probably some of the UIW faithful by the time the main event rolled around. But a couple, Marco Polo, or as Marco as he's known now, made his big debut. And then that four-way between Stupid, Chip Day, Corey Hollis, and Fred was really good. And it was, you know, there's a lot of different styles in there. Hollis and Day are one thing, Fred's another thing, and Stupid's a completely other thing. But they put it together pretty well. And then Fred ended up coming out the victor. He tapped out both Hollis and Stupid. And, like, the final two in that match were Hollis and Yehi, as probably a lot of people might have expected.
Yeah.
And the way that he got him in that Koji clutch was just it was beautiful. And it was well-deserved by Fred. And, you know, he was really excited to be in the midst of it. So. And then you had the main event, which, like you said, to my knowledge, was the first time Shane Marks and Murder One had hooked it up. And as you might expect, chicanery did ensue. During the intermission, there was a costume contest, and some guy just appears out of nowhere wearing basically a Death Eater mask. And he goes in the ring, and he's in the costume contest, and he says that he's Captain Death Eater. Well, he didn't win the costume contest, and apparently this was a problem for him because during the Marks Murder One match, he slides into the ring, teams up with Shane Marks, and they start putting the boots to Murder. And the whole time he's yelling, oh, you should have voted for me. You should have voted for me. And as things go on, as their manager, who you heard here last week, I don't know if you can get into that, lets us know. This was actually all a plan by the Empire out there, and the Masked Man turns out to be none other than Jay Fury. So that bunch just got a lot stronger. With Jagged Edge, Shane Marks, and Jay Fury are a formidable bunch to be reckoned with. So UIW is in for a run. I think we'll start to see that shake out a little over the next few weeks. Murder's certainly not going to take it laying down. As a matter of fact, with a little assistance from Doug Summers, Murder chased the Empire out of the back with a chair, so that's not dead by a long shot.
Well, that is kind of an odd pairing, considering their history in PCW, but I can't imagine, given who else they're affiliated with out there. I'm referring to Shane Marks and now Jay Fury, and I guess the Jagged Edge is still with them, and
mm-hmm.
I can't imagine many people toppling that Empire anytime soon. But what is the title that Fred Yehi won, the internet?
He is the internet champion. And as Stupid so eloquently told us, that makes him champion of Facebook, Google, Yahoo, MySpace. I assume, Jonathan, he's now the champion of wrestling with pop culture. So I don't know if you have to send him a check or how that works, but I'm pretty sure you're going to get it done from Fred Yehi at some point.
Well, I think Fred is Fred. We were the first people to ever interview Fred Yehi, so I think, you know, we might have some leeway.
You got grandfathered in.
That is an odd name for a title for a company that doesn't have its own website aside from a Facebook page, but
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And then Anarchy was just full of changes.
I think every title changed hands, right?
Yeah. New tag champions in the Urban Assault Squad.
Mm-hmm.
New Young Lions champion, as predicted here just last week by Strychnine. New television champion. It escapes me as to who won that belt right now. Who beat Bobby? Who beat Bro Newsom? Oh, Billy Buck. Billy Buck beat Bro Newsom, and the big one changed hands too. The Anarchy champion is now Brody Chase. So first time in a long time, a beltless Sean Tempers.
Yeah, well, he still has that other title, I believe, but I don't think it's recognized.
I think it's gone, too.
Oh, did he lose that? Or was he
don't
stripped
quote me on
of
that.
It? Or?
I don't think he's stripped of it. I think he lost it, but don't quote me on that.
Okay. Well, I do know, I don't know the details of it, but Adam Pearce apparently retired, and I thought it was after he lost the title, but apparently he vacated it, the NWA World title, that is, over the weekend, so that's another big development. He's not local, but he's definitely put on some great matches here in Georgia over the past few years and defended that title and, upheld it. And I would say in pretty good, you know, sticking with the tradition of the many other people who've held that title.
He certainly did that belt a lot of justice. You know, he fought through some tough NWA times, but I think they always had a strong champion as long as Pierce held it.
Yeah, it looks like Doctoberfest down at Rampage Pro Wrestling in Warner Robins yesterday involved a lot of title changes as well. There are new tag team champions, Corey Hollis and Chip Day. Crew Jones defeated Luke Gallows for the heavyweight title. Kyle Matthews is the new television champion. So I guess that was just the trend over the weekend, aside from at Hell in a Cell.
Ball has failed.
Well, I believe we've got our first guest joining us now. This should be the wild child, Joey Kidman.
What's up, Jonathan?
Georgia Wrestling Insider himself.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
How's it going?
The false accusations by one Jonathan Williams. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. So I guess you had some big matches over the weekend as well, right?
Yes, sir. I had some big matches over the weekend over in, down in Florida mainly. Friday I was at Pro Wrestling Rage in Jacksonville, Florida, and that was a very, very good experience. Saturday there was a Sweet Potato Festival in Southern Georgia that I went to and wrestled at, and yesterday I was in Tallahassee for Guild Wrestling.
All right, and then you have a big title match coming up on Saturday out at Peach State against the Ultimate Dragon. What are your thoughts on that match? That's a pretty big match. You haven't been out there for too long, but it seems like you've been well received, and from what I hear, you've had some good matches. I've seen a couple too. So what are your thoughts going into that title match?
My thoughts going into the title match is really, man, I can't believe in, like, and I've been around wrestling for about 4 years, but full time I'd say 2 years, and finally I'm getting to be on the top of a card of a, in my opinion, the top show in Georgia, and it really is a real moment. And being able to wrestle in front of a huge crowd like a Peach State Wrestling is very fun, man. It's a great experience, and I'm gonna win the title. It's gonna be a great show.
It's a guarantee right here.
It's a guarantee right here, man. I'm gonna win it. You show up, you'll enjoy the show. I promise. You're just gonna see a great night of wrestling action. But the best way I could say it is, Peach State garnered to old school wrestling fans and. Oh, sorry, man. My dog's in there chewing on my leg. the best thing I could say about Peach State Wrestling is they cater to the old school wrestling fans who are really there to see wrestling. It's not just about entertainment side. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So I know they had a big show, I guess it was the last week. Did you win the number one contendership there?
Yes, sir, I did. We had a steel cage match for, it was supposed to be 15 men, but I really don't think 15 men were in there. You know, I could be wrong, but it didn't seem like 15 men.
It may have been swinging at whoever was there.
But there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of people in that cage. Jake Donovan, Jake Slater, a couple of names. Ace Haven, Danny Omi's best friend. I think there was a lot of very good hands in there. Your buddy Jonathan, what's his name? Supernatural. He was in the cage too. He did a very outstanding job.
Yeah, I saw pictures. He was not wearing a Wrestling with Pop Culture t-shirt, but that's all right. He usually does.
He was not, and I was sitting there going, why are you not wearing it, man? It actually makes him look a little bit bigger. You know? And to be honest with you, I think he needs all the weight he can get.
Yeah.
He does need to pick up around the middle just a little bit if he can.
Not even just the middle. I think the whole, man. But it's good to see Supernatural really getting his name out there. I'm very happy for him.
Are you still active as much in the southern parts of Georgia as you were?
I still am. I'm still wrestling three to four times a week, which is great. I'm so happy for that. You know, a lot of guys are just that once a month weekend warrior. Not going to say any names, but a lot of those guys have that don't have the opportunity to wrestle three times a week, and I'm very, very grateful for it. And I'm very grateful for the way my reputation has cleaned up over the last year.
What do you attribute that to? Because I mean that is a real thing, you know, that you kind of had this name or that name, and people thought this or that about you. What do you attribute it to?
I contribute it to really, man. I put myself around positive people. I wasn't around the negative outlooks in life. I started out in wrestling at a really young age. I started out around 15. You know, like I said, I've been around it for 4 years. I didn't get as much experience as I could have. But at the same time, I felt like I knew it all. And I felt like that a lot was attributed to young, immature guys that there and thinks, oh, he's ready for WWE when he's 16 years old. And by a long shot, even now, not ready for it, but hope to one day be ready for it and be in there. But I think being on the road with good mentors, having good friends around you who were there for you, people who were looking out for you. I had a lot of those people. Danny Omi was one of those. He really helped me out a lot, and I thank him.
What hooked you to get it to try so early?
Man, to be honest with you, I don't know how to explain it. I was a bad kid in school from when I was 12 to 14, I was getting to the point where I was really bad. I was spending time in YDG. I was, I was beating up kids in school for no reason, just a really angry kid. And I always loved wrestling. Always did. And I was telling my, there was a wrestling school opening up in Columbus, and I was just begging my parents to let me go. I would be like, I promise you, if you let me go, I'll stop being such a horrible kid. You know, one of those whole things. And that's really what, and I think once I got into wrestling, it put me on the right path. But once I really got in there and started getting in the locker rooms and stuff, my immaturity was really starting to show, and it really hindered me. And the best way I can say it, I'll tell anybody this, but for a long time, my worst enemy when it came to wrestling was myself. Through my immaturity, but I'm looking to change all that, and I think a lot of it's changing.
All right. I guess in a locker room is a bad place to be immature, because there's people there who will fight you back.
There's a lot of people there who will fight you back, and the thing is, can you blame them? If I was in a locker room with a 16, 17-year-old bratty kid, I wouldn't like him either, you know. If he's sitting here just saying, oh, I'm this, I'm that, oh, I couldn't take it, so... The ones who never punched me in the face, I thank you.
Was there an incident where you, I hesitate to use the term bottomed out, because I mean, I don't think it's that big, but was there an incident where you kind of like one thing that said, you know what, I need to reevaluate how I'm putting myself out there? Was there anything like that, or was it gradual?
It was, you know, being a young, you know, like I said, going back to being young, and like it was just an incident to where things were building up, and eventually, you know, it was that, you know, the people coming around saying, hey, you need to get your shit in check, you know. You're 17, you know, this is like from when I was 16 to 18. I've had a problem with my attitude, immaturity, so to speak, whatever you want to call it. I was just a kid who was not very light. And a lot of, you know, eventually things just blew up, you know. It got to the point where people did not care to even talk to me. People would just look at me and just snarl. They, you know, it got to that point. And eventually I was like, well, maybe, you know, maybe I am the wrong one, you know. So eventually, after about, you know, after I started growing up in the last year, in the year and a half, I just, it all really centered around growing up is when I realized how immature I was in the past, and I'm glad for it. And I can't live in the past. I can't think about all the stupid stuff that I did and all the retarded things I was doing. I just have to look in the future and be like, what's coming for me now? Because right now, I think things are coming very great, and I'm happy for it.
Well, I would say that that title shot coming up is a big one. Do you have any other matches this weekend or any other big matches scheduled over the next couple weeks?
Well, to be honest with you, I do. I have Fort Valley Friday. I can't really tell you much about the product there. How I really felt about it, I probably would get kicked off the show. But
which promotion is that?
It's called AWN Fort Valley.
All-Star
Wrestling Network. I think you've seen it on Facebook before, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you had the displeasure of seeing that. It's one of those shows where you come in. You know, I'm not gonna bash the product because the wrestlers are there, the wrestling is there. I'm just really joking. I like wrestling there. But I mean, the wrestling is there. You got great. You know, you have a really great talent. Marvelous Michael Stevens, Drew Adler, Anthony Andrews, the BFF. You got a lot of great talents coming in and that are there. Zach Edwards, people like that. And then, you know, it's just another show, man. But my main focus really in Georgia is Peach State Wrestling Alliance and Rampage Pro Wrestling.
Oh, that's right.
He was Rampage. I mean, you were there the last time we were there.
Were you there yesterday? Did you wrestle yesterday, Joey?
No, sir, I didn't. I was in Florida.
Oh, okay.
How happy.
Right.
What are you laughing for? You laughing at me, fool?
No. Who, me? No.
I'm just joking.
Certainly not.
He told you like to beat people up, Matt.
I know.
Yeah, man. I will beat you up, man.
He's much taller than I am, so that could be a problem. And I'm old. I'm old. My knees hurting. Thanks. Peach State was kind of a big step from, you know, where you were at the time when you got the Peach State shot. Were you a little surprised that they were, that you were getting that shot when you got it?
Well, man, what happened was, at the time I really didn't think I was good enough to get that shot. It was about a year or so ago when Mike Jackson was realizing he wanted me, you know, like, Jay Knowles was telling me, I really want you on my show. And he said, I've been impressed with you. I think you have a lot of potential. And it was in Heflin, Alabama, when I was booked for a Peach State Wrestling Alliance show. And Shane Knoll saw my match with Jake Slater over there, and he told me he was very impressed and would like to bring me into Carrollton. And ever since I came into Carrollton, it's been a wonderful ride. It's definitely been the most fun I've had in my wrestling career so far.
What was the big thing that you think really put you over out there? Because it's not the easiest place in the world to go get everybody behind you.
It is not, and the thing is, too, it really isn't. You have to, you know, I've always felt like I wanted to be. I got to be myself when I'm out there, and what you see is what you get, really. But the first time I really think I really clicked with the fans is when I wrestled. Is when I came back to Carrollton. I wrestled Jake Slater. I beat Jake Slater. Got the huge ovation that I got. Then later that night, I won a battle royal to win a car, and it was just. And I remember the ovation after I won it, and I just. It was just one of the biggest pops I've ever gotten. It was just, it was one of those ah moments. It was great.
You didn't have that car for long. Whatever happened to it?
Well, Rick Michaels and Stoney Hooker decided to take it away from me. I don't know. I don't know where that car is till this day.
You don't want it back after Rick Michaels and Stoney Hooker.
Oh, that was a burn. Oh. But I guess that, you know, I don't know where the car is at, but I don't think I'll ever be seeing that car again, to be honest with you guys.
Yeah. Well, Joey, we got to prepare for our next guest, who is someone from Atlanta Midget Wrestling. So we're going to take a commercial break, but did you have anything else you wanted to talk about, any other upcoming shows or anything like that you wanted to mention?
I'd like to also mention, mainly the main focus I'd like to mention is please come out to Carrollton, Georgia Saturday for Beach Day Wrestling Alliance. Will you be there, Jonathan?
That's always a possibility. A lot of times my Saturdays are decided after I wake up and see
after you wake up from partying with Matt Hankins all night, I see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It can happen.
If you come to Carrollton, I'll wear a Wrestling with Pop Culture t-shirt, free of charge.
Free of charge? You won't charge me for that?
No.
All right, definitely likely. I'm not committing to it fully just yet, though.
Okay. That sounds good. I hope you all have a good rest of the show, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, you have a good rest of the week, and get ready for that big match on Saturday.
Thank you, sir. You have a good one.
All right. Talk to you later.
Right. See you guys later. Bye-bye.
So, we do have a brand new ad.
What?
Play now, and I don't even know what all's on it, so let's find out.
That's going to be great.
Wrestling fans, Anarchy Wrestling television tapings are the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at 4236 Level Grove Road in Cornelia, Georgia. For more information on Anarchy Wrestling and on the shows to watch the television product and a whole lot more, go to anarchy-wrestling.net. That's Anarchy Wrestling, the second and fourth Saturdays of every month in Cornelia, Georgia.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Whether you're having an autograph session, personal appearance, or live event, we got just the person you need to contact for all of those needs. SBI Bookings is home of some of the best stars in the wrestling industry today. They provide you with the best talent this business has to offer, from Kevin Nash, Larry Zbysko, Scott Steiner, and many, many more. So who will you contact next time you're planning an event? The men of SBI Bookings. Check them out at sbibookings.com.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Red Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first party you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com and Matt Hankins from Team All You Can Eat. We were just talking to the wild child, Joey Kidman, about his upcoming shot at the Peach State Wrestling Alliance Heritage Championship this Saturday. And we should, any minute now, have Pitt from Atlanta Midget Wrestling calling. Until then, what should we discuss? What do we got coming up this weekend, Matt, aside from Peach State?
We got Peach State that we mentioned. I believe we will have PCW in Porterdale.
Right, on Saturday.
And then, I guess, what about Resurrection? Are they this week?
Oh, that's right. That's why
Sunday?
That's why Gunner will be calling later.
Yeah.
Sir, it's actually one of their big shows called Turmoil.
Yep.
But right now, we're getting about a week ahead of that. We've got Pitt from Atlanta Midget Wrestling. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Appreciate you calling. So you guys are going to be back in Georgia on November 9th in Columbus and November 10th in Norcross at the North Atlanta Trade Center.
Yes, sir.
What can you tell us about these shows? I have actually not been to one of those yet. I've seen other midget wrestling shows, but I always miss these.
I can tell you this. They are going to be two awesome shows. The show in Columbus, usually, 90% of the time, it's a packed-out show. I mean, we always have a good show there. Like, I mean, there's tons of people there. I mean, we've never had a bad crowd there. I mean, and the show is always great. I mean, we have the best midget wrestlers that they have out there to offer. So I mean, we have the best show there is. Put it that way.
Okay.
I mean, it's one hell of a show.
All right. Well, what is your role going to be? Do you know who you're facing yet at either of these shows?
I'm going to be facing this guy named Steve-O. I mean, I've heard he's pretty good wrestler. You know, I mean, I've seen him in the past. I've wrestled him in the past. You know, I've won, lost. You know, it's, you know, kind of a win-lose situation. And, I mean, I'm going to get in there and do my best to do what I do best.
All right. Well, I know Atlanta Midget Wrestling comes through, I think, about twice a year. So I'm assuming you wrestle elsewhere. Do you wrestle for any of the other midget promotions or anything like that?
I wrestle all over the United States. I mean, I do a lot of local independent, what they call independent wrestling organizations too.
Mm-hmm.
I've wrestled for Champion Midget Wrestling. I've wrestled for Extreme Midget Wrestling. I've wrestled for several different, you know, other midget wrestling companies out there. But, I mean, by far, I have to say, you know, the show that you'll see, the show that everybody will see, you know, on the 9th and the 10th, those two shows are the best shows I've worked with. This company is the best company that I truly work with ever.
All right.
With the Atlanta promotion, are you traditionally in, like, traditional wrestling venues? I know sometimes what you guys do, maybe you get booked in a bar or anything like that. What kind of places are you generally wrestling in?
Well, we're usually, like, in bars, arenas, places like that, you know, clubs, you know, civic centers. You know, we've wrestled in, you know, ice hockey rings. I mean, we've wrestled in all different types of places.
Okay.
I know this show in particular, Matt, is always at the North Atlanta Trade Center, though, which is a pretty nice venue. It's where Universal Championship Wrestling was doing its shows, the few that they did, and it's a good place for wrestling, and they do motorcycle conventions and stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know about the place in Columbus. It's like the Columbus Convention Center or something like that, so it looks like a pretty nice place, too.
Oh, yeah.
Are you typically in front of a regular conventional wrestling crowd, or is it more just people coming to see something a little different?
Well, it's kind of both. Like, you know, you're in more of a conventional crowd, you know, like, that just love to come see wrestling. And then you've got, you know, then, like, I would say most of them that's there are just there to see something different. Like, they're just there to see midget wrestling because, I mean, that's not something that you just get to see every day.
As a midget or a little person or however you want to put it to be politically correct, I would imagine the process of getting into wrestling is a lot different. How did you get into it? Where did you train? And
Let's see. This January will be 14 years I've been wrestling. I started wrestling, like I said, at local shows, like at independent, what they call independent shows. I had went to a few shows, and then the guy who trained me to wrestle, he'd been wrestling for a good 10, 15 years. I mean, so he was, you know, he'd been in the business for a long time, and he knew what he was doing. And, I mean, he took me in, and then he pretty well trained me, you know, and got me ready. And I mean, I went out there, and, you know, I did my thing, and just worked my butt off at it, and have gotten really good over the years, and, you know, and made a lot of myself doing it. And I mean, as far as it being different, I mean, it's a lot different for me than it would be in, you know, an average sized person, because like with me, I started off wrestling like big people, and so it's a total different ball game whenever you're doing that, because like with me, I mean, I can't pick most big people up and do stuff with them, but they can do anything with me. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you know, I mean, it was a little rough, a little hard for me at the beginning, but you know, once I actually got to start wrestling other midgets like myself, then you know, it was a total different game.
All right. Well, I think the website for this is AtlantaMidgetWrestling.com. But is there any way people can find out more about you and other places you might be wrestling after that?
You can look me up on Facebook. I mean, I'm on Facebook as Alex Peters, but I mean, you can type in my email address at alex.peters12@yahoo.com. I mean, and then my Facebook will come right on up there. And I mean, you can have it posted where and when I'm going to be wrestling, and I mean, and all like that. So I mean, just add me on Facebook, and you can find out anything you want to know about me through there.
All right. Do you are you local, or do you just come to Georgia for these shows?
I live like about 5 hours from Georgia. I live in a little small town called Florala, Alabama. It's like right on the Florida and Alabama line. So
the gateway to Panama City.
Exactly.
I know that very well. That's everybody from North Alabama, that's the only place we could go on vacation. So you had to go through Florala. That meant you was almost there.
Yep, that's where I live. And I mean, I've been here pretty much all my life. I mean, well, I've been here since 92. Before that, I lived in Eufaula, Alabama. That's where I was born and raised pretty much at. And then, I mean, I've been here ever since then, and, I mean, that's where I'm located at.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing you come back for these shows in Georgia, and, you know, wish you luck in your matches and everything.
All righty.
All right. Thanks for calling.
No problem.
And from there, I believe we've got Gunner on the line now. Is that you, Gunner?
Yeah, can you hear me? You guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
We got you.
Yes,
all
sir.
All right, it's sure. Good deal.
So, Gunner, I know, first of all, I want to say something. I know you're typically a nice guy and you didn't do this on purpose, but I want to thank you for taking that evil, the Jagged Edge guy out of wrestling for a little while when you were at Anarchy a few weeks ago.
Great.
Because he has a habit of calling in every week, and I'm sure if he's listening now, he's going to call in now, but we've come to call these things Jagged Edge drive-bys. He calls in and he says a bunch of stuff to whoever he wants to talk shit to, and then he hangs up.
So wow, just like a coward, huh? That's
just,
what I mean.
Y'all couldn't have got it better.
other than me, Jeff Bailey, it seems like all he deals with is cowards, because, you know, when I was with him, if I called in or I issued a challenge, I was there to fight all the time, and Jeff knows that, and he's like, he's just dealing with cowards now, man. I don't get it. He's better than that.
He should be, at least.
Yeah. You're right.
Well, man,
so
you have come back to the state heavy here in the last few months. What brings you back so frequently?
You know, I try to stay busy as much as possible, man. You know, I stay busy with TNA as far as you know, my TV schedule. It's kind of, you know, on and off right now with things going on with me and Kid Cash. And then, you know, I stay busy with house shows. But I love to do independent shows, man. It doesn't matter where it's at. But especially in Georgia, because as far as you guys know just as well as I do with NWA Anarchy, it's kind of where I got my big starter, my big, you know, started building my name as far as independence and stuff, man. So it's, you know, wherever I get to go, it's cool to work with younger guys or, you know, guys that I've been in the ring with before. It's just fun. You know, I get to, you know, a lot of times TV matches are, you know, 8 or 10 minutes long, and you go to independent shows and you can wrestle 30 minutes if you know, you want to. And it's just nice to be able to do that and help younger guys out. I mean, you never stop learning. I've heard it before, and it's true. I've been doing this 11 years, and no matter if I'm in the ring with AJ Styles or, you know, anybody, you never stop learning with anybody.
Right. Well, I would assume since the time you spent in Anarchy, you probably dealt with Rick Michaels before, and of course you're coming back to challenge him on Sunday for his Pro Wrestling Resurrection title. How much experience do you have with him in the ring?
Not much at all. Honestly, I've known Rick for, well, man, since, oh, I guess when I got out of the Marine Corps in 06, so about 6 or 7 years now. And as far as being in the ring with him, I've been in the ring with him twice. One was a tag match against him, and then one I did a singles match in Atlanta, probably 07, maybe 08. And I know it was a bloodbath for him. He got his head split open pretty good. But as far as,
what?
You know, that's the only...
Rick Michaels bled on the match, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we've been in the ring twice together. But I know he's... he should have challenged to me to come down to Clayton and right outside of Cornelia and areas like that that I know of. And hopefully we can bring a lot of the Anarchy fans that come in and watch me or watch the Anarchy guys and who have seen Rick before. Everybody knows that Rick is really good. I've got the utmost respect for him, for what he does in the ring and outside the ring too. He just, you know, I'm not going to kiss his butt by no means right now, because when I get there Sunday, like always, I'm ready to fight. You know, hey, Rick, I hope he's ready to fight. But
I think he will be. I think he's coming in off of a loss on Big Show Saturday to Axel and Andy Anderson, and I think Simon Sermon got the best of him one more time. So I imagine Rick's going to be pretty focused.
Good. I want him focused because, you know, I've seen a lot of Rick stuff from when I went, you know, before I started with Anarchy. It used to be Wildside and NCW. I've seen a lot of his stuff with David Young and AJ. And, man, you know what? The guy he knows what he's doing. He's awesome. And I give him all that, and it's just somebody that I've always wanted. And now that he's, you know, for a long time he had a real bad back problem, and now he's just really, you know, he's getting himself in shape, and his back issues aren't as bad as they were. And it's really good to, hopefully I have him, you know, at his best, which is better for me.
Yeah, well, Gunnar, we talked to you about a year ago when I just started doing this show, and you were, at the time, kind of getting your first big break in TNA. You were part of Immortal with Hogan and Flair and all those people, and you know, a lot's changed now, and you're tagging with Kid Cash. But do you know what your role will be, for instance, this Thursday at Impact, or when is the next pay-per-view, in like 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah, next pay-per-view is November 11th. I know that me and Cash are not at in Orlando this Thursday. We, you know, we get our schedule kind of in advance, which is nice, but we won't be there this Thursday. I have my eyes set all the time, whether it be single or, you know, with a tag team. I always got my mind set on a championship. I come in with the Immortal, and obviously that faction ended already, but to me it's just another step. I mean, I'm 30 years old, man, and Cash has been around for a long time. It's an opportunity for me to pick his brain and you know, take what he teaches me and better myself as a singles wrestler down the road, because obviously he's a little older than me and he's not going to be around forever, but the guy's been around, and he knows what he's doing as well. And, you know, we definitely got our eyes set on Chavo and Hernandez, kind of a little fight we've been trying to pick with those guys. And I think down the road, people can definitely see us in a world tag team title run, which will be nice.
And that TNA tag division has, you know, in their brief, I say brief, you know, they haven't been around as long as some of the other bigger promotions, but in their time, you know, they've had some great tag teams come through there. Are y'all kind of looking to resurrect that division a little bit, since it kind of has lost a little bit of the focus that it once had?
Absolutely. You know, so when I started with TNA in 08, or yeah, 09, I'm sorry, with the security spot, you know, you had Beer Money and James Storm and Bobby Roode, and you had Machine Guns, and, I mean, a couple other tag teams, but those two that I just named were the ones that really – yeah, me sticking mine. And for a while, it kind of peppered off once, you know, Bobby turned on James. It kind of went away a little bit. And I think with, you know, Chavo coming in, being Guerrero, obviously he's got a legacy. His family's been a great wrestler. And then you got him and Hernandez, which is a powerhouse team. They're finally, I think TNA's finally putting a little bit more emphasis on the tag teams. And then you got me and Cash, which I think we click well. I mean, I'm a young guy. He's an older guy. He's real intense and brutal, and I feel like my style is the same way. We like to fight, and I hope that, you know, our goal is just to be as good as Beer Money, which that's big boots to fill. Those guys,
big
the tag team, yeah, as a tag team, those guys were, man, they were unstoppable, and I watched them, and the matches were just, you know, great. So it's my goal every time, you know, whatever challenge I get as far as wrestling or in life in general, I try to take it and make the best out of it, which is what I've always done.
How did you and Kid Cash end up teaming up?
You know, it was a little kind of, we did a match with a couple guys that come in from Australia one time, a dark match for those guys. And I think once we got in there the first time with each other, we seen it, we clicked really well. And you know, I know Al Snow is pretty good fans of us. And he's like, oh, let's give these guys a shot of the tag team. And, you know, I think it's just after that first match, they saw that we look really well together. You got two brutal guys. They're all tattooed up. Obviously, it's, you know, we look alike. But, you know, I think it was just something they said, well, let's just throw them together and see what happens. And, I mean, that's what happened with Beer Money. In reality, James and Bobby were kind of going, just they were kind of chill with their singles competition. And one day they just said, well, let's just throw these two guys together. And then look what happened to them, man. They made themselves one of the best tag teams ever in TNA.
Especially with Storm coming out of the America's Most Wanted, they were already dominating with
yeah, absolutely.
To be in two of the company's best tag teams is a pretty big deal.
That's it.
Did you know the timetable when you were doing the security thing? Was it, you know, or was it just something that kind of fell in your lap to get a shot to break out a little bit?
Yeah, it really did. It was something that, you know, Bill Behrens has helped me tremendously when it came to independent shows and NWA with my national title run and all that stuff. And he, you know, I think Terry Taylor, his way of getting, when he worked for the company, it was his way of getting our foot in the door with me and Michael Judas at the time and Chemo. There was really no timetable. I know we started and then we were there for probably 4 months and we kind of got laid off, I guess, for, you know, the latter part of the year when Hulk came around. I was like, well, man, you know, there goes the opportunity. It kind of looked like it was going nowhere. And they brought us back and, you know, they eventually gave us an opportunity, me and Michael Judas, to have a dark match against Ink one night. And, you know, they were like, well, these guys can wrestle. They really didn't know much about us. I mean, Terry Taylor did, and a couple of the other guys, like D'Lo. I've worked D'Lo in a WWE dark match before. And, you know, he knew about us, but as far as the office, there was no timetable. Once that happened, they gave us our first contract.
Through all the changes that TNA did go through, was it just a matter of kind of keeping your head low and keeping your mouth shut and just kind of riding it out and waiting until the dust settled?
It is. It is at times. And wrestling's like that. You know, if anybody who's worked for either company before, you know, sometimes you got to just kind of keep your head down and do what you're told and keep your mouth shut, yeah. You know, but you also got to stand up for yourself. I mean, they want guys that are, they want to go get it. And I think the younger guys, you got me and Crimson, and sometimes we'll, you know, they challenge us with certain matches or certain things in the back. And, you know, it's one of those things you just got to, I guess, grab it by the balls, man, and take what you want. But, you know, there's times when you got to go, okay, I got to approach this in a gentle way. But, yeah, it's a silly world at times.
Mm-hmm. But they've always seemed to have been good about letting guys go work other places when maybe they weren't the focus of their show. Is that the case, or is it a harder fight than it looks?
No, that is the case, and it's something which is really good. My first contract I signed was I had the free will to work independent shows, and once I re-signed, I just re-signed my second contract for 3 years, you know, the beginning of this year. It was one of those things I thought was going to get taken away, but it was something that they kept, which is good because you've got to look at, you know, WWE has two shows, their Monday and their Friday night show, along with their superstars, if you want to count all that stuff, but you know, TNA, we really only have one show and one pay-per-view a month, so it's kind of hard for them to squeeze X amount of wrestlers in a two-hour wrestling show, you know, once a week. So they give us the opportunity to, hey, guys, go out and get independent bookings or do appearances, and which is great, man. Like I said, I love doing these independent shows. It gives me a chance to work a different side of the ring sometime as far as being the quote-unquote heel on TV or the babyface independent shows. And, you know, it's really cool to work with younger guys, teach younger guys, or, like I said before, work with guys like Rick or, you know, any of the Anarchy guys I've worked 100 times.
Just looking at the... Go ahead, Matt.
I lost my train of thought. Oh, when you went from taping the shows to doing the shows live, was that a big stretch on everybody, or did they just kind of roll with it?
No, it is. You know, a lot of the guys have done the live taping before. As far as me, that I've never really done that before. So once they went from tapings to the live thing on Thursday night, you know, when they say you got 6 or 8 minutes, and that means you got 6 or 8 minutes because there's no editing, you know, there's no editing like there is when we do a tape show, and you know, if something goes over, okay, they might be able to splice it a little bit, but, man, so it's a little bit more, you know, and at times you're getting ready to go out the curtain, and you might have had 6 minutes, and they go, oh, never mind, you got 3 minutes, you're like, oh, wait a minute, you know, something comes up, or, you know, for instance, when we were Chavo and Hernandez 2 weeks ago, we were only supposed to have a certain amount of time right before we went out the curtain. They added 2 or 3 minutes to our match, which is nice. So it's one of those things where you guys go, oh, okay, can't be afraid to call something in the ring or cut something out in the ring, or you just be a professional, man, and do what you're told, really, and just do what you know.
Do you know what you're going to do with the belt when you take it from Rick? Are you going to tease it? Because Rick loves belts. He loves
it. I know. He does. And, you know, I hope he brings, you know, some napkins so if he starts crying or whatever, he can wipe his little eyes. But, you know, hey, I'll just take one. If I win a title, man, I just add it to my collection here at home. I have the old NWA Anarchy title I held for a while. I have a replica of that, which is cool that the guys got me at one time. And why not add it to my collection? So I hope Rick's ready. I'm going to always bring my A game no matter who I'm working or where I'm at.
When you go into a match with Rick Michaels, are you scared he's going to outdress you just because he can make his own gear so well? Do you ever worry about that?
Say that again. What?
Do you worry that Rick's going to come up with a really nice outfit to wear and make you look bad just because he can make his own gear when he gets ready to?
I do. Sometimes I worry about that. Or sometimes you go, what is Rick going to put together tonight? Because I've seen stuff that him and Simon, when they were tag teams, they would put on or wear, and you're like, wow, guys, you guys are, you know, I don't know if we're in a circus or for a wrestling show. So as far as coming to the ring looking better in his gear, maybe, you know, it may be. But, you know, it's cool.
Probably going to be a lot of mirrors on it. You can bet that. He's going to put mirrors on it.
Yeah,
you're going
to try and blind me. He's trying to blind me or cuff me with it or something. Definitely.
Gunner, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the previous PWR champion was the Jagged Edge. And, you know, again, because of the match that he had with you and the injury he sustained, that title was stripped from him, basically, which left it open for Rick Michaels. So I'm guessing you didn't purposely do that, but you kind of set yourself up for a title shot inadvertently.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I never go in and occasionally want to hurt somebody, but it seems like the Jagged Edge got hurt that night. He was in the ring with me, and then, you know, Michael Judas and Brody and, you know, Billy Buck, which was great. But, you know, things happen. And I'm sure that once he gets back to 100%, he'll be gunning for that title or you know, trying to gun for me, no pun intended. But, yeah, definitely didn't do it on purpose. I mean, whether it's been him or Rick Michaels or whoever the champion could be, you know, I'm glad to be able to come in and take an opportunity and maybe win another title. So we'll see what happens.
Yes, sir. Well, I guess on that note, we should let you go. I'm sure you're a busy man, but do you know when you'll be back in Georgia wrestling? Like Matt said, you've been at a lot of shows. You've been at Peach State and I think down at NWA Action and, of course, Anarchy and various other places.
Yeah. I know I got the show Saturday with TNA. I don't have any shows down there anytime. Independence, man, my schedule's so crazy to me. I think I have, you know, I can't think right now, but I know if anybody's listening, I do. I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook. You know, probably more than my wife loves for me to be, but I am on here posting my schedule all the time, and they can follow me. You guys or anybody can follow me on, you know, TNA_Gunner on Twitter, and the same thing for Facebook. I always post my schedule. It's just very sporadic. Sometimes things have changed, but I do have a busy November. We got a big WrestleCade show here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, November 25th, where I get to wrestle Matt Hardy in an Ironman match. So that's going to, you know, be a big step for me. And other than that, yeah, 30 minutes. And, I mean, you know, here's the guy Matt I've known for a while, a good friend of mine, a guy I have utmost respect for, and somebody I've never wrestled. I've worked, you know, I've wrestled Jeff, you know, numerous times, but I've always wanted to wrestle Matt. Here's an opportunity for me to step up, but it's 30 minutes, so we'll definitely going to kill each other, I'm sure.
Pace, well, you need to pace yourself.
You definitely, don't worry about that, bro. tell Rick Michaels that this Sunday, too. Listen, hey, Rick, pace yourself, because, you know, I don't blow up too quickly, so we're good.
No, I saw you in there with Jimmy Rave, and he ran you a good bit, and you seemed to be still ready at the end.
Yeah, I love working with Jimmy, man. That's a guy I'm glad I got to wrestle. And he,
let me ask this one thing. How do you get prepared when he goes to spit in your mouth like he does?
Say again, what I do what?
When Jimmy does the bit where he's got you in the corner and he climbs up and he opens your mouth and he spits in it, are you ever ready for that?
No, I didn't even know. You know, honestly, he grabs me. I thought he was going to fish hook me, and he opens up my mouth and it spits in my mouth. And you're like, oh, you know, any man, if they get spit on or, you know, spit in their mouth, they're going to just see red. And that's what happened. I saw red, and I think I put that. But, yeah, there's no preparing for anybody spitting in your mouth. So we've seen what happened to him. But you know,
we did see that.
He's an amazing athlete, man, and I would love to wrestle him any night of the week.
Gunnar, we have a caller, unfortunately.
Now, as I sit here and listen, and I listen to Gunnar talk about taking the PWI heavyweight title from Rick Michaels on Saturday, I just want you to know I will be in the building because I am the only PWR undefeated two-time heavyweight champion. So, Mr. Gunnar, if you take it from Rick Michaels, I just want you to know what you're holding on to, it's a loan. It belongs to me. And if you hold it long enough, I'm coming back to get it.
Very well, very well. Well, I'll tell you what. You know what? When I take it from Rick Michaels on Sunday, like I said before, I'm afraid of no challenge. And at any time, any night of the week, you can issue that challenge, and I'll be there.
Oh, he already hung up.
Oh, so. He's gone.
That was a drive-by.
That was a drive-by.
He's listening. So, you know, like I said, only cowards are going to do a drive-by and not let me, you know, have a rebuttal with their replies. So it's okay. I'm sure he's listening. And, you know, anytime he wants to, you know, challenge me, whether it be for a title, whether it be for something he thinks is revenge, then, hey, man, I'm here.
All right. Well, good luck this Sunday and anytime past that in your TNA career, of course, and everything else. And I really appreciate you calling in and talking to us tonight.
Absolutely, man. Thank you guys for having me on.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. See you.
I guess it's time to wrap things up, Mr. Hankins.
We did it again.
We did. Three guests, large and small. I'm really glad that Pitt kept informing us what is the so-called independent wrestling show is. Cause,
you know, I didn't know until tonight. I didn't know what we'd been watching.
Yeah, I had to Google it after he kept saying it, and I was like, oh, that's what that is, all right.
I saw people wearing those shirts that said support it, but I don't know, I guess I thought it was cancer.
Well, some might say it is a cancer.
Some would say that it is.
But speaking of, those same people probably would not like this next announcement, but next week's guest, I'm trying to get Bobby Moore, but I have not confirmed that, but I think we need to talk to him. But I do have confirmation that someone from Monstrosity Championship Wrestling will be calling in. I don't know who yet, but I don't know if you've heard, but there's a show on November 16th in Atlanta. It features many of the same monsters that we've seen in previous Monstrosity Championship Wrestling shows. And people like Fred Yehi, the Washington Bullets, Pandora, Papa Marco, Dragula, the gay vampire, and a band called the Casket Creatures, which is a very Misfits-like horror punk band, is playing. But we'll have more details about that next week. And I think, did we cover everything that's going on this weekend? PWR Sunday.
PCW Saturday, Peach State also Saturday.
That's right.
Go to the grill, kids. Get out. Just pick. You ain't got to go to both of them. You ain't got to go to all three, but you got to go to one.
that's
the rule.
One's in East Georgia, so, you know, you got to live close to one or the other, I guess.
Pick one and you go. There will be a test next Monday.
And then, so Pro Wrestling Resurrection, I know they have a website. It's prowrestlingresurrection.com. I don't think Peach State or Platinum have one yet, but they're on Facebook and everything. So you can go find them on Facebook and Twitter and find out more about those shows. And I'm sure we will be at some of these shows, so we'll be talking about them next Monday as well. But until then, this has been another edition of Georgia Wrestling Now, and we're going to leave now.
We'll see y'all.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.